Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what we're all about. This is why we pray every day. This is the reason why we go to Mass every week. Why we teach our children the faith. Why we do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. It's all about this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the hope that it gives us, that we too will follow after him. St. Paul would always write in his epistles, without the resurrection of Christ, our faith is in vain. The resurrection of Christ gives us purpose, meaning, and hope in life. Today we read from Matthew's account. Notice how it begins. It says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning. The first day of the week. Matthew, like the other Gospels, is very rich in symbolism. No detail should be left unattended to. The first day of the week, here Matthew is referencing Genesis, the story of creation. God creates the universe in 6 days and rests on the seventh. Genesis tells us of God's first cycle of creation. What's the implication here? A new cycle of creation is taking place. A new world is going to emerge through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It continues, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Remember the passion that we read just a few days ago? The mob comes into the garden and they seize Jesus. And what happens? The apostles flee. They abandon Jesus. It's a spiritual sin of cowardice. However, there is that small group that stays with Jesus to the bitter end, that stands at the foot of the cross. Mary Magdalene, Mary, Jesus' mother, Mary, and John. These ones remained faithful to Christ despite the hardships and the challenges, and now they will be rewarded. They will be the first ones to see the new world created by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Next, it says, behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, anyone who's ever lived through an earthquake will never forget it. An earthquake has a great physical power associated with it. More to it, it also has a great psychological power. Suddenly the earth, the terra firma, that which everything rests upon, now shakes underneath our feet. Everything that we once thought or took for granted is no longer. And see, the spiritual implication is that Jesus and his resurrection from the dead is synonymous or is like an earthquake. His resurrection shakes the very foundations of the world. Prior to Jesus Christ, what was the world always tending to? The world always took for granted that death was final. Death had the final say or the final power over us. Now, with Jesus' resurrection, like an earthquake, it shakes the very core of the world and what the world thought about sin and death, to the extent that now it is no longer in control. Death no longer has finality over us. Everything that the world once thought was absolute, meaning death, is now shaken by the earthquake of the resurrection, such that death no longer is the absolute. Through Jesus Christ's resurrection, now we see a new life. More to it, we see God's deepest plan for all of us, and that is to follow after Christ in our resurrection. Think of a person that has died recently, an aunt, an uncle, maybe a parent, a grandparent. That person is dead. Jesus Christ died that same death, and now he is risen from the dead. And now he gives us the hope and the promise that we too will follow after him. We will rise from the dead, and we will go to a world that is more beautiful and more powerful than this world that we live in right now can ever be. And see, if we just stop and think about that, Christ was once dead and now he's risen to live forever. And now he offers us that same opportunity. If that doesn't shake us like an earthquake, shake us to the very roots of who we are, then we haven't sensed the power of the resurrection that we celebrate here today on Easter Sunday. Next it says, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. An angel is a messenger of God. An angel is someone who isn't of this world, but from the world we are all tending to, the world of heaven. Notice his appearance. It says his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. Recall the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus climbs Mount Tabor with his apostles and is miraculously transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became dazzling white. The saints also, too, have depicted halos around them. The saints have these miraculous ways in which Padre Pio or Mother Teresa, light is emanating from them. Well, this light is a spiritual sign of the world yet to come. We see its beauty and its radiance breaking into this world. Now, mind you, Jesus didn't return to this world like Lazarus or the daughter of Jairus. Make no mistake, Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus, they were resuscitated. They were brought back to life, but they had to die again. Jesus' resurrection was not a resuscitation. His resurrection was just that, him rising from the dead, never to die again. Notice further, it said he rolled back the stone. The stone was a symbol of the finality of death. It blocked the entrance for anyone to either go into the tomb or come out of it. Well, now that stone is rolled back, which means death has now been conquered. Next, the little detail. It says he rolled back the stone and he sat upon it. Remember, the angel is a messenger of the Lord. He's God's messenger, God's representative in this world. And he sits now on the stone. In doing so, he declares God's dominion over death. Take it a step further. In the ancient world, sitting was also a posture of a teacher. The teacher would sit down. The students would sit at the floor, at the feet of the teacher, and begin to listen to whatever the teacher was about to teach them. Well, this angel is now sitting down, and he's about to teach us something extremely important about Jesus' death and resurrection. Notice what he says. Don't be afraid. I know you are seeking Jesus, the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Now, that message should resonate deep with inside of us, so that our conduct, our behavior should announce to the world that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. By our fidelity to the Lord and his teachings and his teachings of his church, by the joy in our life, by our service to others in this world, that is one of the best ways in which we proclaim the risen Lord is alive and active in our lives. Now notice, with the guards, it says the guards were shaken when they saw the angel. Well, they were shaken with fear. These are Herod's guards. They were sent to protect the tomb. They were sent to protect the tomb against grave robbers. These guards symbolize the old order. They symbolize the world trying to maintain the old order, whereby death and sin rule the world. Well, not anymore. Remember on Good Friday, which we read the Passion, notice all the soldiers. Herod had soldiers, Pilate had soldiers, Caesar had his soldiers. These are all kings. How is their order maintained? Precisely with the fear of death. All these kings surround themselves with soldiers because they know they can only preserve order through the threat of death. These guards, they symbolize all the powers of this world that thought that they could control this world through the threat of death. Well, no more. Jesus Christ clearly controls this world. Notice further, when they see the angel, it says they fell down like dead men. Well, the old world is based upon death, and now it's been overturned. Notice what the angel says to these two women. The first thing he says to them is, "Don't be afraid." Now, that's the first greeting that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary, to Zechariah, and also to Isaiah when he was praying in the temple. Why? You know, why didn't he first say, you know, "Jesus is alive," or "Jesus is risen from the dead," or "Go find him in Galilee and you'll see him"? No, the first thing that he says to them is, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because sin is based upon death, and death keeps us in fear. Death doesn't have the final say over us anymore. Instead, what we have to understand is that there is a life infinitely greater than the life in this world, and it's waiting for us beyond this world in heaven. And therefore, we need to live our lives in light of that reality. A great example of this is the saints. The saints live their lives fearlessly, unafraid. They recognized there was a life waiting for them in heaven, in the world to come, that was infinitely greater than this life in this world. And therefore, they live their lives always in light of that reality. So must we. They live their lives that were fully alive. And yet, what does fear do? It prevents us from being fully alive. Finally, what does the angel say to the two women? "Go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee." Well, don't we do the same thing ourselves? When we see a great movie, when we read a great book, the first inclination is to go and tell everyone about it. You know, you say, you know, "You have to read this book. You have to see this movie. It'll change your life forever." Well, we have to do the same thing today in each day of our life. How we live out our faith life each and every day of our life should boldly proclaim to the world that the risen Lord is alive. He is alive and he is active and working in and through us. And that truly is the great Easter proclamation for us all. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.